Well, hello, folks. We're heading into week 11 of the NFL season here on Extra Point. I'm going solo this week, and part of it is for good reason why I would be doing it solo. Nothing else matters. This is a big shout out to my co-host, or host for that matter. Can't really do this without you, but I'm going to give it a try. Joe, nothing else matters when it comes to family. So under the circumstances, I totally get it. So my heart goes out to you. My family's heart goes out to your family. And all I can say right now is I'm going to toast to you and your dad and your family to better times ahead. And I'm drinking Joe's favorite whiskey. Well, one of his favorite whiskeys, because he has many. It's Blackened, which is made by the band Metallica. And once again, Joe, I just hope everything, you know, works out the best it can. And I hope to be talking with you next week, because it's really tough to talk to yourself. But like I said, I'm going to give it a try. So I'm just going to do a quick recap. Week 10. Might as well stick on the Joe front. His Dolphins pulled out a big win against the Rams and maybe saved their season. Who knows? Their record is still pretty stinky, but they can definitely fix some things, you know, this coming weekend. I would say any team is easy, but if they're going to play anyone and beat anyone, playing the Raiders has got to look pretty good in the calendar. So go Fins. Man, you can get close to 500 if you get that win, and you never know, right? But just to recap, the Fins, big win against the Rams. Joe's pretty happy about that, I'm sure. The next game that I'd like to talk about, which was Broncos and Chiefs. The Chiefs did it again. They got the W. They didn't deserve to get the W. So this has become kind of a theme almost this season, where they're winning games maybe they shouldn't be. Or it's a flip of the coin, it seems, to some of these wins. You know, does he make the kick? Does he not make the kick? The Chiefs, obviously, they're doing what is necessary. Super Bowl champs just keep winning, win out every week. You know, teams are gearing up for you, so the hardest thing to defend is probably a championship, and the Chiefs seem to be handling everything that's thrown at them and getting a little lucky, which really helps, obviously, when you win a championship. I think you need a little luck on your side, and they've got some. So go Chiefs, go Fins. And next, talk about the Steelers and Commanders. I'll just call them Washington. This is a good game to watch. It's entertaining. Two teams that, I don't know, I mean, you look at the old quarterback and Wilson, and he looks like he's got a little bit of his mojo back. And then Daniels, who's obviously the future at QB in the league. But the Steelers, as Joe would say, they're going to win this game. And they did. I really didn't think they were going to win this game. But they squeaked it out with a just almost like a no-look Hail Mary pass from Wilson. And for Williams, Mike Williams, the guy that was kicked to the curb by Aaron Rodgers, gets the touchdown for the win. You've got to like that. I mean, that's just a nice feeling, obviously for Mike, but, you know, even for an NFL fan to see a guy get thrown under the bus like Rodgers feel like he did to him, and then for him to come back and get that crucial game-winning touchdown in a very important game to kind of like give you that confidence as a team going forward into the second half, you know, of the season. I really think that was a really huge and kind of put a smile on my face to see that happen. And another big, huge game, which was, I really thought Joe was going to come out on top on this one, the Ravens and Bengals. You know, it's almost like a rivalry. I'm watching these two teams. You know, the offense is just running on all cylinders, no defense. And Chase and Burrow, I mean, just unbelievable how much they light it up. And especially against the Ravens, they just looked unstoppable, but so did Lamar Jackson. And it, you know, that's why it's probably a one-point game. I mean, you're just talking about two superstars going at it toe-to-toe. And, you know, the Bengals, which, as much as, you know, they lose all these big games and very close games, I just think they're without a doubt the best losing team in the NFL. Another game that I just want to briefly talk about, because it's almost embarrassing, and that's the Cowboys-Eagles game. Ugly comes to mind. You know, they're in it for a quarter, but then you just kind of felt it. You know, the defense was going to wear down, and the Eagles are just going to take it to him, and that's exactly what happened. Prescott's out for the season, so I don't know. All I could say is get healthy, Dak, and maybe you can look a little less old next year. Just a sad state of affairs going on in the Cowboys in Dallas. I just don't even want to spend any time on it, to be honest with you. So I'm just going to move on. I'm going to move on to this week, which I said, week 11. What kind of big games we got on tune? I would say Baltimore and Pittsburgh is definitely going to be a must-watch. The Chiefs-Bills, another huge must-watch. I'm going to talk about them. I'm just going to lay out these games, and then I'm going to talk about them. Bengals-Chargers. Are the Chargers, you know, as good as they look or as good as their record shows? Well, we'll see. A stage against the Bengals, that if they can take out the Bengals, I think that really sets up the Chargers for to be something to be reckoned with. On the other side, I see the Bengals looking at it as a big opportunity to take on a good team, and maybe they can, that could carry them into the rest of the season, and then maybe they can squeak into the playoffs. They might not even have to squeak if they can just run the table. So I'm very interested in that game. You know, might as well talk about the Dolphins, because, you know, Joe would if he was here. The Finns, of all games, I mean, you know, you got a big win last week. To play a team like the Raiders, you know, the dysfunctional Raiders, you know, maybe they can just have an easy win here and put up some serious points. The defense played pretty, I mean, the reason why they won last week was their defense. So, I mean, maybe this is the turning of the table for them. Maybe they've figured something out, and getting Tua back is obviously the biggest thing to figure out. He just makes them a team that you can go out there, throw out there, and beat any other team. I mean, he's played pretty phenomenal considering what he came back from. So, Joe, I hope your Finns continue their winning ways, and maybe you can be one of the hosts that has their team have a chance to make the playoffs, because the Cowboys are officially done. Why don't we just quickly touch on the Texans and the Cowboys are playing on a Monday night. Monday night, I said the Texans are playing the broken Cowboys on Monday night. A primetime game, which probably should have been taken away from the Cowboys. I'm sure Jerry probably, you know, stopped them from doing that. But they don't deserve to be on primetime. They don't deserve to be actually being watched. I mean, they are a dysfunctional. I mean, I'm not even going to blame the defense. The defense can only do so much. That offense is, like, even when Dak was in it, it's pathetic. But to watch Cooper go out there, I mean, I could throw for more yards than him. And Trey Lance, you know, I said, like, you know, let's start him. Let's see what he's got. Maybe a week of preparation, which he didn't have because Cooper had. Maybe that can make the difference, because I'm sorry, like, you're going to put Cooper, who's threw for under 50 yards, back in a game on a Monday night against the Texans? I just hope you guys get whooped, and you will, by the Texans. Who's Texas's team? Well, it's definitely not the Cowboys. It's let's cheer on the Texans. So let's talk about maybe a big upset, or potentially, you know, an undefeated team that could lose. Well, who would that be? Well, I could see the Bills beating the Chiefs. And one of the big reasons is because Buffalo's at home. I don't think the Bills are particularly, like, you know, a great team. I just think this is an opportunity at beating, you know, a nemesis, a kind of thorn in your side. Maybe it'll propel them the rest of the season. I think the Bills have a huge opportunity here if they can knock off the Chiefs. No one can knock off the Chiefs so far. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs won, but I just feel like the Bills are going to come out and give the Chiefs their first loss this week. We'll see how it plays out. But there's just something about this particular matchup and the way the Chiefs have been winning some games that I feel like the Bills, they're going to squeak one out here. They're going to squeak out a W and give Chiefs their first loss of the season. The other game that's, you know, just as big is the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. We'll see if old man Wilson can continue his resurgence against a team that's just loaded when it comes to talent. I mean, you could just call out two guys and that's enough talent for most teams, and that would be Lamar and Henry. Will they be able to slow these guys down? I mean, no one really does slow them down. You just got to pick your opportunities. If you get a chance, maybe get a turnover or something along those lines, because I think the turnover ratio is the only way that Pittsburgh wins this game. I don't think that they can go toe-to-toe with each other. I mean, offensively, Pittsburgh is not the Ravens. Defensively, Pittsburgh, I think, has an advantage. And coaching, Tomlin, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, he's going to have his guys ready and motivated. So I think that sets up for probably the game of the week, just because there's so much at stake here. Two really good winning record teams. I'm not saying the Chiefs and Bills isn't, like, a huge game too, but there's something about this game that makes it must-watch game of the week for me. I'm going to take Baltimore in this one. I just don't think that they're going to be able to to, you know, stand toe-to-toe. And unless their defense, which is more than capable of coming up with a turnover or two, I think that's the only way they win this game. As much as Wilson is looking pretty good being the starting QB, I think the way he throws the ball up sometimes, I think, you know, an opportunistic defense would be able to, like, maybe make that into a turnover versus, you know, a TD. I'm not saying that not always done that, and he's in his accuracy even on those passes, or you know, he puts it in the breadbasket. But I just think that the Ravens got too much. I just don't see even Pittsburgh at home. I think the Ravens win this one. The Bengals and Chargers. I'm going Bengals. I'm sticking Bengals. I'm sticking Bengals all week for the rest of the season. I just think that Burrow's playing on another planet. He looks like an MVP to me, more so than Mahomes this year. It's unfortunate that they didn't get a couple of those squeaky wins that they might have deserved, because this is a winning team. So I'm going Bengals over Chargers. Chargers will hang in there, but I just don't think that the Chargers are in the same realm as the Bengals. You know, even with the losing record on the Bengals, I just think they're a better team. So we're in mid-November. We're approaching Thanksgiving U.S. Thursday games, which is a big deal. I mean, I'm accustomed to taking that day off of work and watching football. And there's always three games now. It used to be two. Traditionally, it's, as most people know that have watched football for a long time, Detroit and Dallas always play on Thanksgiving. Detroit's the early game. Dallas is the late game. They've introduced a night game. And that, as far as I know, it could be anyone. I don't think any particular team's dedicated to that. So I think that's interesting. I feel like it's tradition for me. It's almost like a healing in a way. I'm Canadian, and obviously I get two Thanksgivings because I enjoy the American Thanksgiving so much as well. I've always, as a kid, I mean, I would just find a way to watch football the third Thursday of November and celebrate with the Americans. Dallas this year, I mean, I'll be celebrating watching football. I'm definitely not celebrating the team and where it's at. You know, they could squeak out a win here and there. I know that's obviously possible. Like any given Thursday, any given Sunday, any given Saturday, whatever you want to call it. It's true. Football teams can just somehow show up. A couple mistakes could happen, turn the whole game around. Turnovers do that. That's what makes the game kind of exciting, is any team can kind of upset another team. So, yeah, I'm sure Dallas is going to get a couple more wins, maybe an upset here. Maybe that'll be their Super Bowl for the season. Detroit, though, it's kind of funny. I mean, they're always the 1 o'clock game because they weren't considered prime time. But, man, they're prime time now. So as much as they struggled for most of the game last week, they pulled it out. Goff down the stretch, he's like, it's amazing for a quarterback to have a memory like a cornerback. And I said cornerback versus quarterback, because playing the position of corner in the NFL is like, you have to have the biggest, like you basically have to have no memory. You have to forget the last play, because you're gonna have a lot of positive plays against you, touchdowns against you, and you just got to put it behind you. You know, playing quarterback, you got to have a mentality like that too. You have to be able to look past the bad that just happened, move on to the next play, and make that happen. And it gives you a chance to win. I mean, you could say that about any sport. You know, golf especially. There's no bigger sport where, in an instant, you know, you could turn your game around. And I don't mean your whole game for the day. I just, your whole attitude of the game. You know, you hit that one shot, you're coming back to play golf. I'm telling you, write it down. You hit that one great shot in golf, you're definitely signing up to come back and play again. other sports, maybe not as so, you know, so much that, you know, you make that play, you know, a Hail Mary play, maybe that could be the shot that, you know, makes you want to play football. But there's definitely an addiction to making a play and forgetting about the bad play. Like, you know, how many times you've duffed a ball or topped a ball in golf and get frustrated. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're teeing up the next block and you just hit a drive all the way right down, straight down the fairway. And you're just back in it. You have to forget about the negative play and move on to the next play. And I think that's part of being, like, if you see head coaches, you know, if you ever look at a good head coach, they don't have a lot of emotion, good or bad. They're very level-headed, and they have to be for the team. You know, there's some coaches that, you know, get very emotional, play in, play out. It's like they're on the field playing or something. But to me, a coach is, you know, kind of reserved, you know, just takes it all in. Maybe there's inner emotions happening, you know, he's jumping up and down inside, but he's not showing it on the outside. Because you're given, I feel like the mystery of being a head coach is to not give up the ghost, I guess you could say, is to, like, here I am, you know, this is what I'm about. I mean, just look historically in time, and you look at head coaches, look at their demeanor, very reserved. All the good ones are like that. And they have to be a head coach and a good head coach. Just start throwing those names out there right now. And I'm telling you, you know, you look at the Bill Belichicks, of course you're going to have the heated, odd little burst, you know, because you're on the sidelines forever, you know, especially if you coach as long as some head coaches, you're going to see those outbursts. But generally speaking, the 90% rule, not 80%, not the 80-20 rule, 90-10% rule, is a coach is very reserved on the sidelines, holds in his emotions. Everything's in check. They wait till the dressing room when they get that W, and then things change. So maybe that's another extra point this week. Maybe we got two extra points this week. Is depending on your position, you have to have a certain mental aspect of your game. Depending on your position in life, you also have to have a certain mental aspect on how you're, you know, dealing with things. So, and there's in accordance with whatever negative or positive is happening in your life, you're going to have a, you know, a kind of reaction or a, you know, a mechanism that's going to make you behave a certain way. But holding things in check, checks and balances in your inner being is important. So to be philosophical, which I can be, I think being a head coach would be an amazing job. Just something about teaching these guys are young. They look like men, physically just specimens, but they're kids. It's a kid sport. And the way these coaches kind of mold them into, like, the players that they are is an amazing thing to watch. And you look at the evolution of certain players, and it's just where they came from and where they ended up. It's a phenomenal thing to watch. And that's probably why I'm a football fan. That's probably why I'm an NFL fan in the first place, is I loved playing the sport. I love the, you know, the brotherhood aspect of it. I loved coaches kind of, like, trying to will you into and mold you into being the player that they think you are. And then obviously you trying to figure out what kind of a player you are, just like in life, you know, you try to figure out what kind of human you are, what kind of person you are. You know, the game of life, they say, you know, they don't really refer that to football. You know, they refer that to golf as, like, a game of life, you know, the ups and downs. But all sports are like that. And especially if you play one, you know what, how much that relates to your life and how much effort you put into it and all the ups and downs that go along with it. So yeah, I think that the game is the reason why Joe and I talk about it, is because we love it so much. And it's just something about sitting down and having some chili and a couple beers and maybe a glass of whiskey, and with your family, with your wives, and your wives kind of like, you know, they kind of like grasp onto football as you teach them through the years, you know, the rules of the game, and then they're like, whoa, this is actually fun to watch. So there you go. See you next week. Be kind.